Hello, welcome to the Last Show Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening to the show. My name is Courtney Shane Williams. I'm a stand-up comedian based out of Seattle, Washington. This is How It Gets Down once a week. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, and you know. Also, go to my website, CourtneyShaneWilliams.com. See where I'm performing my live stand-up comedy. This week, Friday and Saturday, I'm at the Cloverleaf in Bremerton, Washington. Really good show. And next week, February 10th, my monthly stand-up style comedy showcase, full lineup. It'll be Travis Nelson, it'll be Alicia Wood, it'll be Drew Barth, it'll be Greg Beechler. It'll be a lot of fun. Live music by DJ Nick Fit. Please come out to the show. Please support what I'm doing, man. If you guys have never seen me live, it is worth seeing me live. And especially to see that show. And that's that, man. This is the show. A little bit under the weather. I apologize if y'all hear me sucking on a lozenge. But this is really the only way I can do this. You know what's crazy about, like, this podcast? Like, there's no longer anybody that's listened to this any length of time. Actually, I'm not going to say that anymore. Okay? That's it. That is the last time I'm going to say anybody is listening to this. Because the people that have listened know they've listened. And the new people, they just won't get it. That's what be. They'll just be misunderstood, to quote the Animals. Yes, that was me singing a horrible lozenge version of the Animals. It used to like have like a schedule. Like you could wake up Tuesday and the podcast was there. You wake up Monday, the podcast is there. Or you wake up Friday and the podcast was there. Like now I'm doing it whenever like I get the chance to just do it. And like every time I think, oh, I'm about to get back on schedule, like something else happens. I'm in Florida and I have no time, or, you know, I get under weather, I get sick, I have no time, you know, or, you know, so something weird and crazy just always happens. So I'm no longer trying to keep a schedule. This is going to be like the gift left on your doorstep, you know, like when your cat leaves the house and hunts a rat and leaves it on your porch. Like this is just going to be a dead carcass. So, We up in here, man. This is the show. A lot of places to start. I'm going to talk about the Grammys. Going to talk about the crazy Kyrie Irving conspiracy theory. But I do have to start here. Love the NBA. NBA is turning the corner. That All-Star draft was great. Even though, like, they didn't put the draft on TV, but it's almost, like, just as intriguing that they had, like, a draft. Like, popular in the NBA, everything's going great. The trades, the transactions, bigger than the action. Blake Griffin got traded to Detroit. How awful is that? I feel bad for Blake Griffin. I mean, you went to bed in L.A., woke up in Detroit. To quote my man Plies, went to sleep real, woke up realer. The worst part about the Blake Griffin trade, too, is he just signed the contract. Like, I signed the contract 4 months ago. 4 months ago, you showed me, like, I could be in L.A. for life, and I'll be a Clipper for life, and I'm like, ah, you Blake Griffin, you're going to bed dreaming of Kias and superhero movies, and you wake up in Detroit, you're dreaming of pressing license plates. Like, that's how quick it went. Blake Griffin didn't sign a contract to go to Detroit. Like, Blake Griffin had the entire NBA at his fingertips. He could have went anywhere. He could have went to Phoenix. He could have went to anywhere. And chances are those teams wouldn't have traded him after 4 months. He could have went anywhere. But he went to L.A. and woke up in Detroit. Went to sleep real, woke up realer. Sucks for Blake Griffin. But I want to talk about this real quick. Westbrook, who knew? Russell Westbrook, he takes himself way too seriously, man. Like, Westbrook, like, watching him play is, like, it fun. It's exhilarating. I mean, it is a rush watching that dude play. It's like watching an Indy 500, like, race. Like, the dude's like, you just, like, is this guy going to crash? Like, is his car going to flip backwards? What's going to happen? Westbrook is a lightning bolt. Takes himself way too seriously, man. Him and Joel Embiid had an exchange. Joel Embiid of the 76ers had an exchange, okay? Joel Embiid just dunked all over Westbrook. Joel Embiid did that thing where, like, that what was that one time? I think was it Blake Griffin? No, one time LeBron James dunked on Jason Terry when he played for the Celtics. That's right, Jason Terry played for the Celtics, and Jason Terry just stopped moving. He's just dead. And then one time Brandon Knight got dunked on, and then Brandon Knight, he just died. That's what happened to Westbrook. Those dunks don't usually happen to superstars, so Joel Embiid stared him down. So then at the end of the game, when Oklahoma City obviously won, Russell Westbrook decided to just stare down Blake Griffin. Then afterwards, he talked about it. And even before that, he told him, you know, go home and games. So now there's this weird rivalry. But I feel like Russell Westbrook don't get it. Like, Russell Westbrook just ain't that dude to joke around. And out of all the people that I would think in the NBA, this dude will show up to work wearing nothing but a tank top and a hula hoop. Like, honestly, this dude showed up to work wearing a ripped up shirt like the Incredible Hulk after post-transformation. That's what this dude showed up wearing. This dude will show up wearing a cloak, a photographer outfit, skinny jeans, shorts, no jeans, a top hat. I mean, this dude would show up dressed like a luchador. Like, that's how he'll show up. Out of all people in the NBA, Russell Westbrook is the one taking himself seriously? Out of everybody. I mean, LeBron will make fun of his hair. Kevin Durant, he out here making fun of the fact that he had two Twitter accounts. You know? Draymond Green texted pictures of his dong. Russell Westbrook is the dude taking himself too seriously. He is the Brian McCann of the NBA. I'm not a fan of Brian McCann, so it makes me conflicted. Why am I a fan of Russell Westbrook? He's acting exactly like he's the keeper of the game. Russell Westbrook. Sure, showing up wearing a pinwheel hat, and he's the keeper of the game. I'm telling you, I can't wait till Russell Westbrook show up dressed like a ventriloquist with doll in tow. That'll be hilarious. And then he'll probably get dunked on and stare down the other teams. Respect the game. There's no respect when you show up looking that crazy. No respect. Can't believe I'm a fan of Russell Westbrook when he's Brian McCann. Who knew? Welcome to The Last Show Podcast. It's called The Last Show because this may be it.
I know you didn't get your head down so you could just sit down and just sit still.
Hey, we trying to have a good time tonight. Let's go, baby. Let's go, baby. It's my birthday.
No, it's not.
But I still look good, though.
Hello, and thank you for staying with The Last Show Podcast. That is Perm. Bruno Mars. Bruno Mars shut down the Grammys, boy. Bruno Mars, I ain't even heard the album, man. I actually listened to the album like over the last 2 days. I've listened to it about three times. It's cool, but it wasn't better than the Kendrick album. But Bruno Mars was winning everything up in there. Song of the year, record of the year, album of the year. Like, Bruno Mars was taking it down, son. Taking it down. Bruno bleeping Mars. His real name is Peter, by the way. Peter Mars was taking them down. Record of the year. The weird thing about record of the year, Despacito should have won. Like, Despacito is not, I'm not really a big fan, but if you want to talk about the most popular record, like, that is the most popular record. You know, at the same time, I couldn't see Gangnam Style winning a Grammy, so maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Like, the Macarena, Who Let the Dogs Out? Like, none of them songs win the Grammys, and they become very popular. I do think that song by Gnarls Barkley, Crazy, won the Grammy, I do think. And that was, like, the same level of annoying, you know. But Despacito, like, yeah, when Crazy was out, everybody was like, oh, that was great. But, like, when's the last time you've been in the club and they put on Gnarls Barkley, Crazy? How fast would it take you to fire a DJ? I'm just saying. But Bruno Mars, man, won everything. It is, him winning Album of the Year was the least surprising thing. Because if you pay attention to the Grammys, like, that's the kind of stuff that happened. Only thing I knew going into Album of the Year, I knew Kendrick Lamar wasn't winning. And I just knew Kendrick Lamar wasn't winning. I was like, Jay-Z, that'd be weird. I'd be like, okay. But I knew Kendrick Lamar wouldn't win it. That I knew. I knew SZA wouldn't win it. That I knew. And I thought, Lord, okay, maybe on the outside. But Bruno Mars winning was the least surprising thing. Least surprising thing. When you know, Album of the Year, the wins recently, like the Black Keys, El Camino, I think that was the name of the album. The Black Keys, which, but that is actually a good album. Much better than Bruno Mars' album. Daft Punk. They won. So if you're going to let Daft Punk win, Bruno Mars is really not that far away. It's just not. So Bruno Mars winning Album of the Year was the least surprising thing. But him winning everything else, that was shocking. Like Bruno Mars, you could see like through the night, he got progressively drunker and drunker. That's how much he was on stage. With that being said, he's a fantastic performer and a fantastic showman. He's one of the guys that when he does Super Bowl halftime, it's really entertaining. Like, really, really entertaining. Like, to be a single guy, and of course he has a band, and I get that, but to be just basically Michael Jackson, James Brown, like, when it comes to entertainment, like, cameras on you, one guy, like, he can hold it down. And then not say he's Michael Jackson or James Brown, because of course he's not that, because I am the Russell Westbrook of Motown. You will not come up in here. Temptations, you have nothing on them. So I am that, man. But just pound for pound, I mean, I got to see the dude live. I'm not going to lie. Everybody that's seen him live says it's fantastic. And I don't really know the music, but I know enough that when I hear him sing and rock on the album, I'm like, those are good records. Those are just good, fun records. Fun records. And truth be told, that's what James Brown made. James Brown made fun records. I mean, James Brown barely said more than 5 words on the record. Like, it was basically the music, man. So, James Brown, I could see Bruno Mars going up there and holding it down, man. But that was shocking to see him on stage as much as I did. I mean, I could see him just winning Album of the Year and nothing else. And Despacito's getting nothing. And that was the big story of the Grammys, to be honest with you. Getting shut out. Jay-Z got shut out. I'm going to tell you this, Grammy, what do they call it? The Associate, they don't call them the Association. But I'm going to tell you, Grammy Award winners, or Grammy writers, or whoever, voters, the Academy, that's what they call them, the Academy. Hey, I'm going to tell you this, y'all lucky Kanye wasn't there. I'm just going to tell you, man, you lucky Kanye is busy committing fraud on a lawsuit, allegedly. You lucky, like, he's too sick to tour. You lucky him and Jay-Z fell out. Because if Kanye would have been there, homeboy would have jumped on stage and took that mic out of Bruno Mars' hand. Ain't no way you was going to have Jay-Z come all the way up to that award show to get nothing. To get nothing. Nothing. Jay-Z showed up to get nothing. I will say he looked like he was getting nothing too, because I don't even think he had a haircut. Like, Jay-Z, he got nothing. I guess the night before he got some kind of lifetime achievement or whatever, but trust you me, that wouldn't have been good enough for Kanye West. If Kanye West would have been in the building when Jay-Z sat up there and got nothing, it'd have been some furniture moving, as they say in the day. Oh, yeah, it'd have been some fire, smoke in the city. Like, Jay-Z just wouldn't have showed up just not getting nothing. So y'all lucky Kanye West wasn't there. And as a matter of fact, I'm lucky too. Because then I'd have been on here trying to figure out what's wrong with that dude now, man. Y'all just lucky he wasn't there. Got shut out. SZA got shut out. Now, it didn't shock me that SZA didn't win anything. What did shock me is that, well, okay, combination. It shocked me that she didn't win anything while being nominated for so much. I think she was nominated for 6 Grammys, and you win nothing. So the idea you got nominated mean that many times means that they like the album. At least allegedly, like, they like the album. But you got nothing? Like, that was like, wow. Wow, I don't know what the record is for nominations. But to be nominated, I mean, that is a complete waste of your time. Complete just waste. How? I can't figure that out. Your album is so dope that you get 6 nominations, but then it's like, yeah, you get nothing. You get nothing. She was in tough categories. I mean, she wasn't going to win. I think she was in Record of the Year, too. Like, you just weren't going to win that. I mean, obviously, we know that now. Bruno Mars was going to win all that. But Album of the Year, she wasn't going to win that. But I think she was in there for, like, Best New Artist and Pop Vocal and stuff like that. Like, that was kind of crazy that she didn't win any of that. But, the real winner, Dave Chappelle's. The real winner is Dave Chappelle, man. That dude was winning. That dude won. In case you're wondering, he's the winner and is always the winner. From now on, Dave Chappelle's the winner. In case you ever wonder, like, hey, I wonder who's winning. Dave Chappelle, dog, he's winning. Now, I don't know about his personal life, anything like that, but I can tell you, every time I see him, that dude looks relaxed, winning. He had on a new coat. Like, the dude went shopping before the show. You know, when you go shopping directly before the show, like, you're winning, and you got jackets with your name on them, on the outside of your jacket. That's Roger Federer level stuff. That dude is 20 major winning, dog. Winning. Funny enough, like, I told y'all on the I talked about it on the podcast. I just did it again. I've been trying to figure out how to get music into my comedy show to create like a one-man type bigger show. And then he did it on the Grammys. Of course, he was implemented in that, but he opened the Grammys with Kendrick Lamar. Let me repeat that. A comedian opened the Grammys. That's never happened. Furthermore, he presented an award on the Grammys. That may have happened. But for the first time in the history of the Grammys, they presented the award for Best Comedy Album on camera. For the first time ever, they presented the award for Best Comedy. They don't do that. It's one of those It's one of those albums that, you know what I mean, like Best Classical. Like, they just run it down the bottom of the screen, like, while the award show is going. Like, you got to wake up the next day and Google it. As a matter of fact, they'll announce it before the show even starts, like, who it is if you go online. Like, they give you your Grammy on the way out, like a gift basket. They don't put comedy on TV at the Grammys. It's not a comedy show. They don't really put comedians on TV. That's why they got James Corgan. That's right, I said it. I think I called him Corgan too, like the dude from Smashing Pumpkins. They don't do that, man. Dave Chappelle is winning to the point that they put comedy on TV in the prime spot. That show revolved around Dave Chappelle. That's crazy. Crazy. I do got one gripe. Why are they calling Netflix specials albums? By the way, he got a Grammy for the first 2 specials. And then later this year, he just put out 2 more, which means he's going to win it next year. Which means this is maybe setting up for him to host this award show. Just stay tuned, as Jalen Rose would say. But this is setting up for Dave Chappelle to host it. So Dave Chappelle wins. And it had me thinking, Comedy Central, dude, who are you? Comedy Central. To think Comedy Central was the main part that drove him out of the business. Comedy Central. Do you know what Comedy Central is on your television? If we go back in time, what is it, 10 years now? Or go back maybe even 15 years now? We go back in time. You ask Comedy Central, would you like to do this over? Like, I know you really need this third season of Chappelle's Show, but do you mind, like, taking a couple years off, letting the dude take a break, letting him come back, like, being cool? But just stop with the pressure. Like, Comedy Central could have had this. And by the way, when Dave Chappelle was on Comedy Central, it's not, and I said it before, dude, it's not like Comedy Central was the place to be, man. It is what it is now. And by the way, Comedy Central, you want to throw me some money, holla at your boy. But Comedy Central was not popping like that, dude. They didn't have shows like that. Dave Chappelle went to Comedy Central and it became bigger. And people watched it more. All of a sudden, they were rolling out a lot more original programming with other comedians. Then when he left, you know, all of a sudden, it's Mina Mencia. And then they had, Key and Peele end up coming along. And then all of a sudden, they have all these kind of sketch type shows riding that wave and people are kind of watching. But the truth be told, the Chappelle Show was incredible, dude. Incredible. Incredible. And to think Comedy Central had that, dude. They had that. And now what is Comedy Central? I mean, obviously cable television and things like that have changed, but I don't hear anybody talking about Comedy Central. I mean, now everybody's on Netflix, and maybe that would have happened anyways. But if you are them, you could have had maybe 5 seasons of The Chappelle Show. 5 seasons. And to think, like, this dude is a legitimate genius. Like, legitimate genius. And I say that out of full jealousy. Professional jealousy. Not real jealousy. Not like I want to be him, but like out of professional jealousy. A real genius. Like, people say, oh, that dude's a genius on stage. It is a genius. Like, a real genius. Like when you look at the work, like, the genius is there. All the time. All the time. And there's countless other comedians. I mean, I'm not going to call them out on the podcast, but just look at the TV. Look at movies. You know, there's certain guys that are, like, you know, good writers when it comes to movies. Like Eddie Murphy's a genius, man. That dude resurrected Saturday Night Live. Like, Eddie Murphy's, like, a genius. Like, you can see it. You can see it. Chris Farley. Like, you can see it. Other comedians, And Comedy Central had one of those. My man from Key and Peele. Like, you watch Get Out. That's genius, dude. Genius. Comedy Central had that, man. They had that. And to think, like, they should have caved. What are you doing? Caved. And not only do you not cave, you make the dude's life more difficult than it should have been. It should have been. This dude was like changing comedy, a complete facelift. I can't get over this. When I saw it on TV, like, this whole thing just flashed. I was like, this dude had Kanye West make his television debut on Comedy Central. Kanye West made his debut as performing on Comedy Central. Kanye West, Erykah Badu, Big Boy, who else are those? Erykah Badu, Big Boy, my man from The Real World was on it. Like, all these performers on a sketch comedy show, man, on Comedy Central, had them on your station. Like, that's what it is. That residency he did at Radio City was basically the show he was doing on Comedy Central, man. He had that on there. Most Def appearing in sketches all the time. Jamie Foxx, all the time in sketches. All the time. Bill Burr. The whole, like, he brought that to you. And Comedy Central made his life more difficult. They should have caved, dude. If you're them, whoever that executive is needs to be fired. Needs to be fired. You need to learn how to recognize talent and treat people better. That'd be nice, too. John Mayer doing sketches. Like, these are not minor league dudes. These are people that would never be on Comedy Central. Never. When has they ever had a show where it was Most Def appeared in sketches, John Mayer appeared in sketches, Damon Dash appeared in sketches, Bill Burr, Donnell Rawlings, Patrice O'Neill, Kanye West, Common, Big Boy, Erykah Badu, and my man from The Real World? Like, never, never. Charlie Murphy, he became, like, a superstar off that show, man. Like, And you made that dude's life more difficult, man. You made that dude's life more difficult. Like, Comedy Central is Dan Gilbert. Like, that is what it, like, that is what it is. Comedy Central is Dan Gilbert. Comedy Central is running the Cleveland Cavaliers. And 15 years from now, I'll look back and be like, really? We couldn't trade the number one pick to keep him? Really? As when LeBron's, like, running, you know, the Phoenix Suns to a ring of championships as an executive and owner. It's really? Dan Gilbert? This is really? Like, Dan Gilbert is Comedy Central. Like, he is. You look out there, who's the best player? LeBron? I'll fight with him. Like, that's what they're doing right now. Make his life more difficult. Yeah. 23? It's the best thing we have here. Make it more difficult for him to perform. I can't believe it. Man. I'm going to keep saying it, man. Comedy Central had, as far as art-wise goes, of this era, Comedy Central had one of the biggest on their network. Cable television, by the way. It's not like this is, you know, NBC primetime. Like, you know, you turn on NBC, like, they had girlfriends. Like, you know, but like, that was the genius. Diana Ross's daughter, Black-ish. Say what you will about Black-ish, whatever. But I know this. They had Chappelle. And that dude is winning. And they could have been winning. Odd. All right. I'm going to do this real quick. Yeah, because I'm going to do this real quick. So, Cavaliers keep losing. This is probably the main reason I don't do the show, because Cavaliers keep losing. No, I'm lying. I don't really care if they lose or not. Just get to the playoffs. But Cavaliers keep losing. So, over the last week, it was a big week. Like, every time you think there's a low point, it gets lower. Like, you think, oh, they lost by 150. It couldn't get worse than this. Then they lost to the Spurs' second string, the practice squad. The Spurs had people playing. I didn't even know were human beings. And then they lose to them by double digits. It couldn't get worse than this. They lost to Detroit. Detroit played seven players. Yeah, it was like an AAU team, dude. They lost to Detroit. It's like, it couldn't get worse than this. Kevin Love broke his hand. It couldn't get worse. Isaiah Thomas is going 2-for-15. Like, it's bad. Bad. And it lends to my conspiracy theories. Like, LeBron is making the team look bad, so they will make trades. He's strong-arming Dan Gilbert. This is what's happening. And if they do not improve the roster, LeBron James is going to be gone. And if they don't improve it, especially with that pick, LeBron is going to be gone. Interesting revelations this week is two things. Number one, the story came out after that bad loss that Kyrie Irving told Dan Gilbert that if they did not trade him, he would get knee surgery and not play. Okay? That story was leaked by the Cavaliers. Period. When a story comes out, you got to ask, like, who gains from this story? The Cavaliers are the only one to gain from that story. Kyrie Irving doesn't gain from that story. LeBron James doesn't gain from that story. The Cavaliers gain from that story. Furthermore, the reporter who reported that story is a longtime reporter for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Longtime reporter. So, who's going to go to those old reporters? The Cavaliers. Like, if it's Dave McMiniman or Chris Broussard or Brian Windhorst or Adrian Wojnarowski. Like, if it's Woj, it's probably more like an agent, maybe an executive source. If it's Dave McMiniman, it's a player. Like, it's a player. And he'll tell you, players have told me. Like, it's a player. If it's an old reporter, it's the Cavaliers. Why would the Cavaliers want to report that story? Because when the guys had that meeting, the executives were in the meeting. And when they called out Kevin Love, the executive said, hey, you know, they took punishment in the meeting because the player said you didn't get back enough for Kyrie Irving. So it's only natural that they would leak a story that said we had to trade him because he was going to get knee surgery. So all this idea of just keep him. He did not want to play with you. So we had to trade him. And it's good that the story came out because, truth be told, I thought they had to trade him because he wasn't going to play. I didn't know it was that serious, but it was pretty serious. And that's not something David Griffin could have changed. Could they have got something better? Sure. No, that betters. Could they have got stuff different? Sure. But Dan Gilbert is fighting with LeBron James. Dan Gilbert thinks he's leaving, and he probably is leaving. And Dan Gilbert is saying, I want assurance. So this pick is going to save the world, and maybe it will. I don't know. But Dan Gilbert is already setting up a situation. Next year, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the team will be the Brooklyn pick in the draft, maybe the Cavaliers pick in the draft, Isaiah Thomas, Kevin Love, and everybody else on the roster right now. Like, that's going to be the team. The only person leaving the team will be LeBron James, which will be far different than it was last time. So, see what Dan Gilbert's doing. Not sure it's going to work, but that's the reason you leaked the story. Also, a little conspiratorial, Kyrie Irving usually doesn't play as many games as he has, and he's starting to miss some games now, but it makes more sense now that the Boston Celtics fired their training staff. Because I remember they fired the training staff and everybody was like, oh, it's because they misdiagnosed the Isaiah Thomas injury, which could be true. But that training staff was around for years. However, it's very convenient that they fired the training staff after Isaiah left. So they may have known about this knee issue that Kyrie Irving had that may require surgery, which is probably the reason they fired the training staff in combination with Isaiah Thomas. So when you talk about the validity of the story and, oh, they're lying and Kyrie Irving, he denies it, then why did they fire the training staff? Like, this stuff makes too much sense. I truly believe Kyrie Irving wanted out of Cleveland so bad that, excuse me, he wanted out of Cleveland so bad that he was willing to have surgery on his knee, a surgery that he didn't necessarily need. But there's a lot of elective surgeries but knee cleanups and stuff like that. Like John Wall just had one where they go up and it's some loose particles and they clean that up. And you can have it delayed to the offseason or you can wait to the middle of the season and miss 3-4 months. You can. And that's what Kyrie Irving was going to do. So hopefully that closes the book on this whole he could have stayed thing. And they can just focus on the fact that they're bad now and LeBron and Dan Gilbert are the center of this whole thing. They're the center. And if LeBron leaves, hey, man, good for him, man. I ain't going to be mad at all. Won the title. And, you know, when they retire your jersey, hopefully I'm at the game. That'll be that. Let's wrap up the show. Thank you for tuning in to The Last Show Podcast. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn Radio. Go to my website, please. CourtneyShaneWilliams.com. That's CourtneyShaneWilliams.com. You can see where I'm performing my stand-up comedy. Get tickets to my show February 10th, 8 p.m. at Naked City Brewery. And we're going to get down. Also, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Courtney Shane. That's at K-R-T-N-E-Y Shane. And just stay in the loop. I've been tweeting a lot more. A lot more. I've had a lot more time to tweet. Now that the holidays are over, I just have a lot more time. So I've been tweeting, try to Instagram and do the whole thing, man. But contact me, DM me, do the whole thing. Email me at kshanecomedy@CourtneyShaneWilliams.com. I'll get with you. And have a good rest of your day, week, weekend, whenever this show comes out. I don't know. Take it easy. Peace.
There's a lot of guys, you know, playing with their butts tight, coaches with their butts tight. Hell, at one point, fans and myself was butt tight, too.
Aha! Aha! What do you know from funny, you bastard?
Till next time, take care of yourself and each other.
Hasta luego.